Hack the Entrepreneur is part of Rainmaker FM, the digital business podcast network. Find more great shows and education at rainmaker.fm. Today's episode of Hack the Entrepreneur is brought to you by Taxify, effortless sales tax software for small and mid-sized businesses. We've all heard the horror stories. Some of them, myself included, have actually witnessed this firsthand, and it really hurts. But we've all heard the horror stories of an acquisition going south because of paperwork that was not taken care of. When it comes to taxes, those worrying days are over. Taxify has 35 years of expertise to help you navigate the 45 states that require sales tax. It's an affordable, convenient tool that integrates seamlessly with the platforms that you already use and love to sell your products. Hack the Entrepreneur listeners can try out Taxify for free today, like right now. Jump on over to taxify.co. That's right, not .com. That's taxify.co/hack. You will get a one-month free trial of Taxify. Plus, special bonus, Hack the Entrepreneur listeners only, you will receive 20% off your entire first year. This means if you act right now, you'll get Taxify support for your January filing. No credit card is required, and you'll be on your way to getting sales tax out of the way in just minutes. Go to taxify.co/hack right now and grab your free one-month trial.
Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur. It is so very cool of you to join me today. I am your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. My guest today is former captain in the U.S. Army, podcast extraordinaire, self-made millionaire, and an entrepreneur on fire. After serving 8 years in the Army, my guest set out to find work. After trying and quitting a couple things, law school and the real estate business mostly, he stumbled upon podcasting. On September 22nd, 2012, he launched EO Fire. Now, 3.5 years later, EO Fire and my guest generate over $200,000 in monthly revenue, and he shows no sign of stopping. His latest project is the Freedom Journal, a journal that will help you achieve your biggest goals in the next 100 days. Launched as a Kickstarter campaign on January 4th of this year, it was almost instantly fully funded at its goal of $25,000. As of today, just 3 days after the campaign has begun, pledges have already topped $150,000. Now, let's hack John Lee Dumas. Today's episode is brought to you by Hack the Entrepreneur, the book, How to Stop Procrastinating, Build a Business, and Do Work That Matters. Are you stuck and don't know what to do next? Grab a copy of this book and I will be your personal mastermind coach and mentor, and I will give you the guidance and the kick in the ass that you need today. Do you want to do work that matters? If you want to work on projects that make a real impact and have meaning to you and others, this book will let you discover your true value. Do you also want to control your destiny? If you want to design a lifestyle that puts you in control of your time and income, this book is absolutely for you. This book is not a best of or a greatest hits of all my episodes. This is you learning specifically from 50 brilliant entrepreneurs and myself. I love how the internet has changed mine and my family's life, and I cannot wait to help you start, build, and grow your very own online business. Plus, it has a special foreword by none other than Chris Brogan. Grab your copy today at htebook.com. It is just $2.99 on Amazon right now. That's htebook.com, or go straight to Amazon and search Hack the Entrepreneur. We are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. And today we have a very, very, very special guest. John, welcome to the show.
John, I'm excited to be here. You might be missing an H, my friend, but you're still pretty cool in my book.
I love it. All right, John, let's jump into it. John, as an entrepreneur, can you tell me what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
Daily discipline. And specifically within that, I will say my morning routine. I have 90 minutes, John, that are absolutely focused every single day on me, the entrepreneur, because I really believe in that saying in the planes, like if the oxygen mask drop, like put it on yourself first and then help other people. entrepreneurs burn out left and right because they don't do that. So my 90-minute daily routine is so critical to my success, Sean, and I won't skip that.
Wow. So you're going to tell us what this 90-minute routine is?
Absolutely. And one thing I like to share with people is it actually starts the night before. A lot of people say, you know, oh, my morning routines are awesome. And I'm like, okay, well, what time did you go to bed last night? Like, how much sleep did you get? Because that's part of actually crushing your daily routine and your morning routine is having eight, you know, at least seven, but hopefully 8 hours of good quality sleep. So I'm going to bed at 9:15 p.m. I'm waking up at, you know, the latest 5:30. If I'm doing awesome interviews with people like you at 6 a.m. my time, then I'm waking up even earlier than that and just having a blast with it. And first things first, John, I'm jumping out of bed and I'm getting on my boardwalk out on the San Diego Bay here. So I'm getting some fresh air. I'm doing a power walk, rain, shine, which is usually shine because I am in San Diego. I'm getting in those steps. I'm getting that fresh air. I'm getting hopefully that sun, if the sun's actually risen at that hour, and just enjoying that. Then I'm coming back. I'm making a really nice, hearty breakfast to kind of get that metabolism going, get that energy kicked into gear. Doing the exercises as far as push-ups, pull-ups, like really kind of getting that full body after my nice walk. And then I'll turn to my day. So again, those first 90 minutes, focus on JLD so I can spend the next 9 hours focus on Fire Nation.
Wow. So 9:15 p.m. bedtime, is this, and does this routine follow through like 7 days a week or is this strictly six or so?
This is, I would say, 6.5 days a week, just because there's like a couple days a month where I'll be going out and doing stuff and being social and not just being like a homebody Scrooge type person. But most of the time, you know, I'm going out and I'm coming back in at a pretty reasonable hour if I do venture out of my little abode here. So I'd say about 6.5 days a week.
I love it. I love it. All right. So we got to go back a bit, John, because there's this time in every entrepreneur's life when they realize one of two things. Either they have this calling to make this huge difference in the world, or it seems they find they just simply cannot work for somebody else anymore. Can you tell me which side of the fence you see yourself on and when you discovered this about yourself?
So at 26 years old, I left the U.S. Army with zero debt, plenty of money in the bank, and I was like, the world is my oyster. Let's do this. And then I promptly spent the next 6 years just following the traditional world and getting more and more depressed every year doing it, trying law school, quitting after one semester, corporate finance, dying in a cubicle, slow death, like paper cut death in a cubicle. And then real estate, both residential and commercial real estate, just trying to like get out there and find what my calling was and just striking out time and time again. This was 6 years. And it was just finally this one day, I'm literally just walking, like escaping my job. And I get this voicemail and it just says like, you know, John, like you just closed this deal on this big real estate thing. Congratulations. Like, you know, da, 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 da. And I was like depressed about it because I was like, ugh, now I got to write up the contract and I got to do this and do that. And I was like, wait a second. If I am not even excited or thankful about when I actually have a win in life and my actual career, then like, what am I going to be doing for the next 30 years? I mean, this is my life. This is what I'm choosing. And it was like at that moment, I just like this mental switch flipped and I just said, no more. I'm 32 years old. And this was about 3.5 years ago. I'm 32 years old. I am not going to live the rest of my life this way. I'm not going to be 80 years old and look back and remember this moment and know that I did nothing about it. So I started making plans immediately to find something that I was passionate about. And I had been, you know, casually trying over 6 years, but now I got serious. And I think that a lot of people who say like, I can't, you know, I don't know what my passion is. I don't know if I can do this or that. It's because you're just kind of doing it half-assed. Like you're just not really focused on it. And that is the problem. And I was doing that for 6 years until that switch was flipped.
And so now you obviously, you go all in on everything, it seems. Like your default is like just totally just going for it. On fire, I guess, if you will.
I think that's a good way to put it. But at the same time, what I would also share is like I've just seen success for me when I take my one spotlight that I have and I just shine it on one thing. And I know, John, you've heard me say this before and people that have heard my podcast have probably heard me say it, but that acronym for focus is so incredibly effective. Follow one course until success. And for me, like I had never taken that advice, you know, for the first 32 years of my life. But then when I finally said, hey, I am going to focus on just one thing, launching a 7-day-a-week podcast, that's it, nothing else. and then I'm going to see what happens, and to see how that transpired in just 3 months. And then I said, hey, well, maybe this will work for this, and then that, and then that. So then I have always just been going all in, and people are always like, John, like, you're all in. I'm like, yeah, but I'm all in on one thing, which is like the same as everybody else being like kind of in on like 30 things. So like they're as busy and probably even more, you know, crazy than I am as far as all over the place. It just seems like I am just like all in on this one thing because it's the only thing that I do.
So at what point between starting the show September 22nd, 2012, at what point after that did you think, okay, this could be a six-figure year business? And then at what point did that switch to, no, this could be seven figures? And you're probably thinking, this isn't even the start.
So there were definitely some ups and some downs post-launch as well. I mean, I started on an absolute high because I launched. It was just a great time to launch a podcast because not many people were launching podcasts back in, you know, mid to late 2012. I'd really built up a lot of buzz by interviewing a lot of people. I had 40 interviews in the bank. So I had them, all of my guests kind of queued up for my launch and being like, I want to see like this guy like burst into flames and failure or success. I don't know what's going to happen, but it's going to be quite a show. So I kind of had a lot of buzz going on with that. And I launched a podcast and it was just out of the gates. It was awesome. I mean, I was getting over 3,000 listens per day, which was a huge number at that time. And it actually still is to this day for a podcast that just launched for sure. And I was seeing those numbers like start to grow slowly, but I was always number one in the new and noteworthy section and getting a lot of organic traction from that. I was asked to speak at a conference, New Media Expo, pretty early on. And I was like, wow, this is all happening. And then week 9 happened and I dropped out of new and noteworthy. My downloads plummeted and I was like, I'm only 2 months into this. I've put so much into this. And is this the beginning of the end? Because I didn't know. Like, you know, I didn't know what was going to be coming before me. Like there's been no like real successful podcaster who had just launched a podcast that was doing it daily and had nothing else. You know, everybody that I was being mentored by, like Cliff and Jamie, you know, they all had like coaching and they all had like equipment sales and master. And I was just podcasting. I was like, well, if this doesn't work, what will? So that was like a real low point. But then fast forward, you know, I grinded it out for the next 4 months, slowly building my listenership back up to that point that it was where I launched. And that's when I got my first big break and a company reached out to me called The Midroll and said, hey, we're looking to try business podcast sponsorships with some sponsors that we have. Let's give it a try. And from that Friday conversation to that Monday when I woke up, I had $12,000 in sponsorship revenue lined up for the following month. And I was like, whoa, like this is, as we speak, went from a business that was generating no revenue to projected six figures for the year. But I will say at the same time, I was like, we'll see like how this happens. Cause I didn't know if my sponsorships were going to convert. I was just like, maybe they're going to hate, you know, maybe nobody's going to actually take action. And so then the sponsors will never come back. So I wasn't like overjoyed because it wasn't like I had locked in a 10-year contract, but I was like, this could work. And so that was like the 6 month point. And then I would say by the 1 year point, that was actually when we had our first six figure month and we had other revenue streams. I had a mastermind by that time. I was actually coaching pretty regularly one-on-one and we had just launched Podcasters Paradise with much success. It was at that point that I said, okay, I have multiple streams of revenue. I have a diverse income stream. I feel pretty good about my ability to create revenue as an entrepreneur. I think this could be big.
It's awesome, man. I love it. I love it. All right, so daily discipline is your one thing. Now, every blog post, every expert tells us 80-20. So do 20%, get 80% of the results, do what you're good at, delegate the rest. John, can you tell me something that you are absolutely not good at in your business?
I am not good at basically writing much of anything. Like when I write something down, it's just full of errors. I rush through it. Like I make mistakes all the time with it. And to be honest with you, you know, people, they don't really have a big barometer for flexibility there. Like people are just like, you know, the red flags go up. Like when they see misspellings and they see wrong punctuations and grammatical errors, it's not good. Like you need to be clean in that area. Like you want to be you. You're not looking to be a professional here on any stretch, but you know, you want to come across as someone that can be trusted in that area. And to be honest with you, the way that I write, I just sit down, I just kind of like throw up on my keyboard, like in a grammatical sense, and it's just there. And if that was it, it'd be rough. And people like would not be wanting to read my newsletters. They would not want to read the blog posts. Luckily, I've found my Kate. You know, she is the one that takes all of my kind of just, you know, things that I've thrown up into the keyboard and just configures it in a way and edits it and makes it. And she knows my voice. She knows my personality. So it stays and remains authentic and it remains my voice and my feeling, but in a sense that's grammatical. So that's an area that I really struggle in and probably always will. It's just not a strong point of mine. That's why I probably was drawn to podcasting where I can just talk into a microphone, make mistakes and nobody really knows, or they do know, but you know, I'm just talking about something else. So they're distracted by that point. And it's where my focus is. So that's why I'm a huge believer for entrepreneurs is building that team. You know what your strengths are and amplify those strengths. Like what we're doing right now, John, is one of my strengths. I love having conversations with entrepreneurs like yourself. It's fun for me. And I have a lot of joy that comes from that. And then I have weaknesses. And how about instead of me trying to get like okay at writing from being not good to okay, how about I just focus on amplifying my strengths a little more and let other people really work on what they're good at, like what Kate is, like the writing and the editing part of it. And so that's a huge takeaway for me.
Yeah. And I completely agree. We need to know our weaknesses probably even more than our strength. But we delude ourselves and think that maybe we're better at things than we are. Like with writing and your editing, and like back in early 2012 late 2012 when you launched, but did you early on, were you just sort of puking onto the keyboard and then publishing it? Like, did you realize it too late and think that, no, I can get away like this? And then like, oh, actually, I need to be more professional.
No, I've always been a realist. I've always known what wasn't good work. And I knew that I wasn't really producing good work when it came to that kind of stuff. And, you know, even though Kate wasn't with EO Fire at that time, she was actually an account executive for an advertising company. That was kind of her thing, was she was like the copy girl. So I would always have her help, even when she wasn't with the business, to really clean stuff up and to give me some, you know, I remember sending her emails when she was at work being like, can you look this over real quick? She's like, I'm at work right now. I'm like, I know, but I want to send this email. So it's always been something that I've realized and I will say that I really have improved on. And that's one thing that I'm a big believer in. I mean, go back and listen to episode 3 of EO Fire. I mean, I talk about amplifying your strengths. Like I was better at speaking to a microphone than I was writing, but that didn't make me great at speaking to a microphone. I mean, I have gotten a little bit better every single time I've turned this microphone on. And that's why one of my favorite quotes is, if you want to be, do. And I've really been able to now become a much better speaker, orator, presenter, because I've continued to do that day in, day out. And that has been a critical part of my journey. And I still write my own emails 100%. Again, Kate edits them. I mean, she cleans it all up, but you know, she's had to do a lot less cleaning over the years because I've just gotten a little bit better every time. And that's key. So you have to do that thing.
I love it. I love it. All right, John, let's move to projects. So projects can be a very loose term usually, but I think you have a really good project that's probably a great way to talk about this. So you just launched the Freedom Journal. It's been a project you've been working on for, I believe, over a year now. But as a project, as the Freedom Journal, how do you decide when a project is something that you, John, and you as a business, EO Fire, should put your time, energy, and resources into it?
Yeah, I mean, love that question, John, on so many ways and so many different shapes and forms. And actually, while you were talking, it just brought me back to the time that you and I were hanging out in Cebu, you know, at Tropical Think Tank. And really, you've seen this firsthand. I mean, you've seen people come up to me and say, John, like, what is the secret to success of the entrepreneurs that you've interviewed? I get emails, tweets. They're like, John, like, what is that magic bullet? Like, what's that one thing that entrepreneurs just do that are on your show that make them successful, make them inspiring? And John, that would frustrate me. That would frustrate me a lot because, you know, I would say, guys, it's hard work. These successful entrepreneurs work really, really hard. And that is just something that I was seeing a lot of my listeners were struggling with. It was just the ability that, hey, there is no magic bullet. It just takes hard work. You have to do that thing. But then stepping back a little bit and giving myself a little space, I said, you know what? There is also one other commonality that all of my guests share, and that is they know how to set and accomplish goals And my listeners struggle with that very thing. And so when you just shared about my project with the Freedom Journal, that's exactly why I created that project, the Freedom Journal, is that's how you set and accomplish goals in 100 days, is you actually have something that's going to hold you accountable to that. So the Freedom Journal was my baby, my project, my passion to allow people to set and accomplish their number one goal in 100 days with this gorgeous leather-bound Golden Boss guide, this journal, this Freedom Journal that will get them there. And John, like, I know you asked a very specific question, but you just got me a little fired up with when you were talking about, you know, different entrepreneurs and the things that I've gone through, because it's just, there is no magic bullet, my friends. It is hard work, but there are tools out there that can help you focus that hard work into something meaningful. And that's exactly what the Freedom Journal is. So John, what was your specific question within that?
Just as in projects, like, so the Freedom Journal is going to be hard because I can tell that it's like absolutely a passion project for you, but for like a revenue generating project, when you're starting, how do you decide what a project is that in your business you should focus, like make that your one thing, as you say, to focus on? How do you decide what is this one thing that either your audience will buy from you, and so it's worth your time, energy, and resources?
One word for that, and this is where we've had success with Paradise, with Webinar on Fire, and with the Freedom Journal as well, is pre-sales. People will vote with their wallets, and that's the only vote that you should ever really take. You can send an email out to your list and be like, hey, would you guys like this if I created this? And you'll get like back 1,000 yeses and like, you know, 10 maybes and like zero no's. And then the time will come when you actually, okay, guys, you said you wanted this, like, here it is. And then you'll get like 1,000 likes, good for you. But, you know, I mean, I said yes, but I meant like yes for somebody else, but not for me. Like, people will vote with their wallets or not at all. And as entrepreneurs, that's how you have to just tally up those votes. So for Paradise, for Webinar on Fire, for the Freedom Journal, I came up with the idea. Excuse me. I came up with the concept and I said, hey, my friends, like, you've told me that you struggle with setting and accomplishing goals. Here's a guide. Here's a sneak peek. I'm giving you the opportunity right now. You know, this, when it comes out, you know, it's going to be $40. It's going to be gorgeous. It's going to be leather bound. It's going to be amazing. And you know that I produce high quality stuff, and this is going to be something that I'm so proud of. You can get it today, you know, for X number of dollars, being an early bird. But I just need to prove this concept. I need to know that people will actually part with money right now for a future product that doesn't yet exist. And when I got enough people that have plunked down that dollar amount, I said, okay, this is real. This is really a pain point that people want solved. Now I'm going to create that. And we did that with, again, Paradise, Webinar on Fire, and the Freedom Journal. We proved it with pre-sales. Prove it with pre-sales.
Have you pre-sold anything that didn't sell enough, and then you've just returned the bit of money you did get and be like, okay, this, we need to rethink this?
Yeah, and a great example is pre-Podcaster's Paradise. My first foray into podcasting products was called Pod Platform. And I said, hey, I will be your podcasting platform. Like, I worked out a deal with a media host. I said, we'll host your media. I will edit your podcasts. I'll add the intro, the outro. You know, this is me early in the game, just like trying to find ways to make revenue and to find things that worked. And a lot of people said that was a great idea. And yeah, of course I'd want that to happen. And then I tallied everything up and I said, okay, it's going to be like $197 per month, you know, at this level, and $297 at this level. And like, that was the bare minimum that I knew that I needed to generate to make it work, because it was going to be a very time intensive process. But again, I had just taken people's word that they needed it and that they would pay whatever it took to make it happen. And then I launched it to absolute crickets. And actually, I will say, the two people that did sign up, that was all the people that signed up, were just two. I was so thankful very soon that only two people signed up, because it was so much more work than I thought it was going to be. It was so much less rewarding and less fun that I just was able to only have to go to two people and say, listen, I'm giving you 100% refund. This is not going to work. Like, we'll transition out of this slowly, but, you know, I cannot continue to do this. And this is a failure. And I learned my lesson. And that's why I came out with Paradise, knowing that, hey, I need proof of concept in a real way first.
I love it. I love it. All right, John, this has been a ton of fun. I've really enjoyed this. I have to finish up on one last question. This idea I'm calling the entrepreneurial gap, and I'd love to hear your answer on this. The entrepreneurial gap is this: we're always, as you know, pushing goals ahead, which we have to do, but we're always setting our successes into the future, right? When your Kickstarter ends at the end of the month, you'll be successful. Yet before you hit that, you set five loftier goals into the future. In 6 months, when you hit that revenue goal, you're successful. But right before you hit it, you set loftier goals into the future. And we never, as dreamers and entrepreneurs, we just never seem to get to where we want to be. So I would love right now, John, if you could stop, turn around, look at everything you've done in your entrepreneurial journey up till today, the wins, the losses, the highs, the lows, and tell me how you feel about it up till this very moment.
I feel very blessed up until this moment. I really feel like I've been able to achieve the word that I use for the Freedom Journal, which I think is very fitting, which is freedom. And that's what my focus was all along, was to get to the point where I had freedom to wake up in the morning to work on projects that I wanted to do, to say no what I wanted to say no to, but to say yes to what I wanted to say yes to. So that's where I really feel like I'm at in my journey right now, is a place of freedom. And it took a lot of hard work, a lot of difficult nights, and a lot of just nose to the grindstone days to get here. But, you know, it's been the journey. It's been worthwhile. And I do feel blessed.
I love it. I love it. You should. So we've got to talk about the Freedom Journal in passing. Can you specifically tell the listener what they should do?
Awesome. Well, I appreciate that, John. And again, just kind of recapping a little bit, you know, the number one commonality that I've seen with 1,200 of my past guests who are all successful entrepreneurs is they know how to set and accomplish goals. So in early 2015, I set out to create the first physical product of EO Fire. And again, I named it because of that word that I love so much, freedom, the Freedom Journal. And this is your guide to set and accomplish your number one goal in 100 days. It has everything that you need. It has the beginning, where we start by having you set a SMART goal, which is specific, measurable, attainable, relevant, time-bound. And then we guide you through a 100-day process, a very unique step-by-step process where you will accomplish that goal. You will accomplish that goal. There's daily tasks. There's nightly recaps. We have 10-day sprints where you accomplish micro goals during these 10 days, building up to your bigger number one goal. There's quarterly reviews where we look back over the past 25 days to see how far you've come, what needs to be adjusted, et cetera, going forward. And on January 4th of 2016, we launched the Freedom Journal Kickstarter campaign. It's going unbelievably well. We're at 2,000 backers, over $115,000 in just 2 days, which has been amazing. It's been a fun journey. There's a lot of awesome rewards. There's a lot of cool bonuses that are only available during the Kickstarter campaign. So my one call to action is to visit thefreedomjournal.com and check it out. And John, you know, I'm a big believer in legacy and in really bringing significance to this world in a really powerful way. So we've actually partnered with Pencils of Promise, which is an amazing charity that builds schools in developing countries. So every time we hit a funding goal, I am personally writing a check for $25,000 to build a school in a developing country on behalf of Fire Nation and this Kickstarter campaign. So you're giving yourself the gift of accomplishing your number one goal in 100 days by pledging to the Freedom Journal campaign, but you're also giving the gift of education to those less fortunate. And this is what we're looking to build here together. So visit thefreedomjournal.com. I would love for you to check it out and contribute and pledge and get ready to accomplish your number one goal in 100 days.
Brilliant, John. Absolutely love it. I cannot wait to get my hands on one in February, I believe they're coming.
Yeah, February.
Awesome. Awesome. So, John, thank you so much again for taking the time. Thank you so much for all that you do for everyone in this community. And please just keep doing what you're doing, man, because it is awesome and inspiring to watch.
Thanks, John. You too.
Well, that was an awesome conversation. John Lee Dumas, thank you so much for joining me. John is one of the many brilliant people that I met a couple years ago now. So it was a few months before I started Hack the Entrepreneur. I met him in the Philippines at Chris Ducker's first tropical think tank. Cannot recommend it enough. But he was one of the people that sat down in the mastermind and was like, John, dude, you got to start a podcast. And so then it kind of percolated in my brain for a couple months. And then that was the summer where I started. So yeah, this show probably wouldn't be here without John. So I'm glad that I finally got to get John on the show. So awesome that it happens to be during the Freedom Journal launch. I don't have actually a copy of the Freedom Journal yet because it just launched as the Kickstarter a couple days ago, but I'm looking forward to them getting sent out in February. And Yeah, you should really check it out, thefreedomjournal.com. But that being said, this conversation here, we went through and we talked about some really cool stuff. And John is obviously, he hasn't been an entrepreneur even that long, and he's scaled to just amazing places. And like I said, his default state is like on fire because he's just going. This was like 6 a.m. for him or something, and he's just going for it always. He's awesome. It's just, he's a testament to just working your butt off and getting places. And I totally, totally 100% admire him for that. But going through the conversation, there was 4 spots I would need to go back and listen to. So I went back and listened to the 4 spots. Then there was 2 spots after that one. Then there was one. There was one thing that John said that I couldn't get out of my head after I heard it. This one thing. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
Know what your strengths are and amplify those strengths. Like what we're doing right now, John, is one of my strengths. I love having conversations with entrepreneurs like yourself. I just have, it's fun for me. And I have a lot of joy that comes from that. And then I have weaknesses. And how about instead of me trying to get like okay at writing from being not good to okay, how about I just focus on amplifying my strengths a little more and let other people really work on what they're good at?
And that's the hack. John, I absolutely love this. This is so, so, so true. We so often are so worried about not being good at everything. I even think now that it's almost more important to know your weaknesses than it is to know your strengths. Because it's just so essential that you don't waste time trying to make those things that are inherent weaknesses that will, no matter how much you worked at it, you're probably not going to get that good at it because you're probably not that into it. So why bother? Why bother from going from like, kind of not that good to okay, like John says, it's absolutely true. Then just you can leave those and then it's time to find your strengths. Then when you find your strengths, you can absolutely amplify those. And that's where scale comes into your business. That's where when you can scale your strengths and totally just get rid of the weaknesses and let other people do those, find people whose strengths are your weaknesses and you are golden. This is how you find a business partner. Don't find a business partner who's like you because it's just destined to fail. Get somebody who is absolutely the opposite of you and whose strengths are your weaknesses, and you guys are unstoppable. I love this, John. I absolutely love this. And I cannot stress this enough. And I'm so glad that you brought it up. Just ignore your strengths, man. Just ignore them and just don't worry about them. It doesn't matter. You don't have to be good at those things to succeed. Trust me. All right. That was fun. John, I wish you so much luck on the Freedom Journal. And you're listening. Check it out. Thefreedomjournal.com will take you to the Kickstarter page. And you can buy pre-sales of the book and check out all the information about it, the videos, and it's something I strongly, fully endorse, and I think it's going to be great. All right. When you're done checking out his book, Hack the Entrepreneur, the book is out. It reached 1 so far in 3 different categories on Amazon. I'm super, super proud of it. I've been getting amazing just emails from people about it, and the reviews have been excellent. It's not just a rehash of the podcast. It's a book I wrote. I wrote in like 2.5 months and it almost killed me twice. It almost killed me twice. Does that not even make you want to read it? It's $3 and it's actually going to be going up in price in the next week or two, I think, because it's worth way more than $3. But I want everybody to have it. I want every single person to have it. It's so cheap right now that you can buy copies for your friends. It's $3. Come on. htebook.com or go straight to Amazon and look up Hack the Entrepreneur or John Naster. Then drop me an email or tweet me and let me know what you think. Or at least tell me you bought it and you're not going to read it. I don't care. I at least want to know that I've done my part. All right. Thank you so very much. This has been a blast. As always, I super, super appreciate you stopping by. And please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.